Hello and welcome to another Premier League preview podcast exclusively for you guys on Patreon. How are you? Hope you're keeping well. With me as ever, Lewis Ambrose. Hello, Lewis.
Hi, Andrew.
Let's start by talking about Benfica. Just very quickly, how, you know, now that nearly 24 hours have passed, how do you view the game? Was it like an Arsenal side up against the odds, although the odds were put against them by themselves, you know, coming out on top, showing some character, showing some quality, delivering when it really mattered? Or was it kind of a get out of jail scenario that that was more, people will say luck, I guess, but, you know, we did leave it very late, so you leave yourself open to that kind of accusation when the goal you need goes in with about 3 minutes to go.
Yeah, I think we did get out of jail, but I'm not down on it too much. I think, firstly, it's a cup competition, so you get through, and we'll worry about if we're good enough to beat other teams later in the competition and go further in it when we come up against those teams.
Yeah.
We know now, like, that will start with Olympiacos next. But at the end of the day, we just had to get through. It didn't really matter how. I was sitting there watching the final 20 minutes thinking to myself, I can't believe an Arsenal season's going to be basically over in February. It just doesn't happen to us, and we just don't support a club where that happens. Every year there's, you know, if we're not fighting to finish in the top four or scraping a Europa League place in the league, you know, we're in the FA Cup final. It was, yeah, I was sitting there thinking this is going to be torturous watching the next few months where nothing really matters. So I was massively relieved. I celebrated that winner quite loudly, I think, like a lot more loudly than most goals that have gone in this year, because it meant that, you know, that something still matters, something's still on the line for the rest of the games this, or for some remaining games this season.
Yeah.
There are two ways that I think you can approach it, and you can say that, you know, we didn't play well enough and that we should have known that we had to play better than we did, and that's not good enough. And you can say that that means we're not good enough and it's all sort of meaningless and we're not going to win the competition anyway. I think I look at it a little bit more like we should have sailed through. I think if we play those two games again, and I mean play them as in exactly the way they were played, if we play those two games again, then the other 9 times out of 10 we would sail through, or, you know, 8 times out of 10.
Yeah.
We gate, they never look like scoring, and the first one's a dodgy penalty, then a free kick, and, you know, it's just unstoppable. And then we just literally gift them a goal for the third one.
Sure.
I think, you know, we could be sat here talking about how Arsenal have just won 5-0 on aggregate and this team's doing really well. And if this tie had happened in November, I would not be sitting here giving Arsenal any leeway and any benefit of the doubt at all. But I think since December, or since Christmas, we have by and large played well in the league, and I'm willing to give them that little bit of space to their sort of free hit and get through luckily and not play well and get the benefit.
Sure. I mean, but
because the form's been better.
Yeah, I agree with you. The form has been better. Do you not think, though, that even if we played this game 10 times, that like 8 times out of 10, it could go the way that it went? Because we have this, I don't know what it is. I mean, it's not just Mikel Arteta. People can be and have every right to be critical of Mikel Arteta if they want. But, you know, this was an issue that this club has had more than once, where we have fallen apart in European knockout games. Like, we've contrived to make life so difficult for ourselves against teams that we should be. You know, Monaco obviously is the obvious one, isn't it? Where for once we don't get drawn against Bayern, or we don't get drawn against Barcelona in the first knockout round of the Champions League, and we make a spectacular mess of a game against Monaco and almost pull it back in the second leg. Like, it feels to me, I see exactly where you're coming from. I think we are better than Benfica. I don't think Benfica are quite as bad as some people might say, even if the goals that they scored, you know, were not going to say fortunate, but you know, we gave them a helping hand, it's fair to say. But I just, you know, I look at us and I look at what we do in games like this, and it's not really a surprise that it was as difficult as it was.
No, it's not, and we should always be used to it by now, I guess. I just think at least we were on the right side of it this time. And these players, you know, they've played the Europa League for a few years now, not all of these players, obviously, but they've reached the semi-final and, again, narrowly gone out to Atletico Madrid a couple of years ago. They reached a final 2 years ago.
Mm.
And then last year, they flew out in incredibly similar circumstances. I'm sure there were plenty of them thinking back to Olympiacos as everything unfolded last night. I think when you're, you know, when we talk about Monaco, none of these players played against Monaco. I know obviously we have those scars, we carry those scars as fans, but none of those players out there most of them had no affiliation with Arsenal at all when that happened. I think last year against Olympiacos, and I think there are similarities with that, and in this Benfica game, and, you know, a team that we are stronger than and we look stronger than, and scoring a few goals from very, very few chances and a little bit gifted to them, and in a game that we really should have just put to bed. Maybe we can look on the flip side and say, well, they didn't go out last night, though. They did keep going. I was worried about the performance after going behind. I was worried about the subs. I don't think the result justifies the subs and the way that we reached the result in the end. But ultimately, we did get through. And now we have to look at, hopefully, thinking that this team has learned something by getting through in that way, and learned that they don't want to do it the hard way, and that if there are chances, and obviously you don't miss chances because you're not focused, just because you don't care. But I mean, the free kick for the goal was silly, and then to give away that goal was just horrendous. The second Benfica goal last night, I think ultimately those are the things you've got to cut out, just these like silly mistakes and maybe a little bit lack of focus. And also going for a second goal when we're one goal up. One goal up is never enough. And it's definitely not enough when one away goal sets you two goals back. So I think that there are things to learn. And I'm willing, I don't know why, I'm setting myself up for huge disappointment. But I think on this one, just because we have been playing well in the league since Christmas, and even if all the results haven't quite gone our way, I'm willing to sort of give them that little bit of leeway this time. And I mean, if they do exactly this against Olympiacos and scrape through, then there's absolutely no escaping that they need to change.
Sure. Okay. I mean, look, if you scrape through and you keep scraping through in competitions, once you scrape through, you know, that's the main thing. And just to sort of go back to what you're saying about some of the players or none of the players being involved, you know, for Monaco, which is very true. The club captain at the time was a certain M. Arteta, who didn't play in either of those games. I think he was going through one of those periods where he was injured. So, you know, it is possible that this scarred psyche can carry through to the squad that we have via the manager. But maybe that's me putting too much on all kinds of things. Look, we could talk about Saka. We could talk about Aubameyang. We could talk about Kieran Tierney. And we could examine things and analyze things. But when it comes right down to it, what we saw against Benfica on Thursday night was Arsenal's best players digging us out of a hole. In very simple terms, Aubameyang's the best striker. Saka is the most creative player we have, in the squad at this moment in time. And Tierney has got quality and character. I think he's got the kind of character that we can all identify with really easily, and it's very easy to love what he does and how he does it. So, you know, you can see what a difference this team would be without those guys. Sometimes football is complicated. Sometimes reasons for defeats and reasons for wins can be complicated, but this was just the best players stepping up and providing moments of quality when we needed them.
Yeah, and I think you, with all three of those players, you see something. You see that we've not had Kieran Tierney for the last few weeks, mostly. We've relied on Aubameyang to score goals. He wasn't scoring goals in the first half of the season, and we thought, holy shit, are we in a relegation battle now? And now he is scoring goals and we're going through in Europe and looking more solid, at least in the league. I think 7 goals in like the last 5 or 6 games. I think he's averaging a goal every sort of 60 or 70 minutes in those games. And Bukayo Saka is streets ahead of, I wouldn't even just say our most creative player. I'd say the way he's playing at the moment, he's streets ahead of anybody else in any position at the entire club, and it's not even close. And obviously, you know, we've talked about it before, and it's going to keep coming up, this topic of when is he not going to play, and it's this catch 22. You know, do you not play him and basically accept that we're going to really struggle to win a game without him?
Yeah.
Or do you play him every single game and you're battling with the idea that, yeah, but eventually you might have to go without him for a few weeks because you've overplayed him? And Mikel Arteta obviously even admitted last night that he's sort of suffering from some fatigue. He's got to not play him at some point.
He does, doesn't he? I feel like it's going to be this weekend because, you know, we were talking on maybe the last preview pod and saying, well, maybe he doesn't need to be rested. Maybe he's, you know, he's super fit and he's not ticking any of the red zone boxes. But, you know, I think what he said was, you know, he was asked if Saka had nerves of steel. He said, yeah, because he's really fatigued. He's played a lot of minutes and he hasn't had much rest. We asked him to go again and produce this moment, and the boy has done it against really difficult opposition, the way they were so deep and small spaces, blah, blah, blah. He's found a way. You know, really fatigued are the words that he used. So after the last Benfica game, he said, we have to manage his minutes. And after this game, he says, he's really fatigued. So I know we've speculated on this very subject after every game recently and thought about team lives. Is this the game to rest him? Is this the game to rest him? Is this the game to rest him? Like, you can't keep taking the risk with him now. If you're acknowledging the fact that he is really fatigued, and we know that a lot of injuries come when players are fatigued, not necessarily because of the fatigue itself, but just because it could be a moment you leave your foot down, you know, you're a bit late in a tackle, whatever it might be, it contributes to injuries. We know that. So I think when you look at the schedule, this is the game where you give him a rest, and you do at least have options. You know, the attacking side of our bench last night looked good in terms of the options. You know, people will have their own opinion on how effective those particular options are, but, you know, he has the personnel at his disposal to rest Bukayo Saka this weekend.
He does, and obviously, as you say, people can talk about whether or not or how much it damages us to not play him and to play Pepe or to play Odegaard instead or whoever it would be that has come into the team. But we're 11th, and this is not, you know, we talked about the Manchester City game last week and if we could win it and if we should go for it. And it's a little bit like Arsenal should never, ever accept defeat. Arsenal should want to win every game and Arsenal should expect to win most games. But there's got to be a pinch of realism as well. And so when I say realism, I mean, do we go into a game against Manchester City and people get really furious if we don't win and or really upset? It's just the reality of the situation is that right now, Arsenal, and it's not where we want to be, but we are a long way behind Manchester City and competing with them. Obviously, this is different this week. We play Leicester, we play away from home. The angle I approach it a little bit from is, and, you know, we don't know. Maybe Saka could play against Leicester and be perfectly fine. But are the points worth the risk? That's the question that Mikel Arteta obviously has to ask himself.
Yeah.
And not even are the points worth the risk, because we could beat Leicester without Bukayo Saka. We know he's the player that's making things happen. But Aubameyang's had breaks this season for different reasons. I'm sure he's ready to play again against Leicester at the weekend. Nicolas Pepe has just had a really good run of form. He didn't do much against Manchester City, but nobody did. You know, there are players there that aren't playing. Martinelli, Odegaard's barely played football all season. there are players there, and what's the point of having a squad, even if it's a squad that a lot of people don't like, some of the players, we do have to use them at some point. We do have to use that squad to manage the players that everybody does like and everybody does agree that are the most important. And we absolutely cannot play Olympiacos without Saka or without Aubameyang or without Kieran Tierney.
Yeah, I mean, that's very true. And, you know, when you think about this game against Leicester, we played in Greece on Thursday night and we're playing away from home at 12 o'clock on a Sunday morning, which seems and feels a bit like, I'm not going to say a recipe for disaster, but, you know, it's a big challenge. You know, the players have gone through the travel and, you know, even those who don't play, travel is tiring in itself, and I know they're not sitting on Ryanair planes with their legs squished up or anything like that. I know it's different and they're looked after and they're not hanging around airports and eating crappy sandwiches and all that kind of stuff. I realize that, but you know, it's not ideal preparation for a game that kicks off so early on a Sunday. So, you know, there is a need, you know, the balance that he's got to find is like, who's ready? Who's fit? Who can push themselves? Who can't we push? And then you've got a week off, basically. You're not playing again until the Saturday. So there's a midweek off for the first time where, you know, you can maybe give the players a day off and let them relax and you know, recharge the batteries and get them into rehab and physios and rub downs and massages and get all those bits going on. But, you know, the importance of this game for our season, I think, is still a bit up in the air. I mean, where do you stand on it? I mean, I kind of think we've got to go for this as much as we possibly can, because we have to get points on the board. I don't see us going all the way in the Europa League, but I do see a run of games in the Premier League against opposition that, you know, we should take points from. I know Leicester have gone very well this season, but they've lost, you know, 5 of the 6 games that they've lost this season have been at home. So there is a little bit of a weakness there that if we can get the right team out, we could exploit.
And they obviously, they played as well on Thursday night. I know they were at home, but they played. They had a disappointing defeat. Mm. They played pretty much, as far as I could tell, a first 11. I saw Brendan Rodgers today say that they'll have the exact same squad. So I think the likes of James Maddison and a few other players who've been injured won't be back for
Perez,
the game
I think,
the
is
weekend.
The one. Yeah, Iosi Perez.
Yeah, so Leicester, you know, they played a little bit later than us, but didn't have to travel. They'll be suffering fatigue-wise as much as we will on Sunday afternoon. I don't know why you would put 2 Europa League teams to kick off in the earliest game of the day, but
yeah,
you know, we know that these schedules make no sense anyway. I am really torn. I think I'm approaching these Premier League games now with the almost my first thought being not how can we get these points, but I just really don't want Saka or Aubameyang to be missing for the Europa League games.
Mm.
I do think we can win that competition, not because we're great, but you know, it doesn't take much. It's a knockout competition. We've got Olympiacos in the next round, and then you don't know what happens. You get to a quarter final if we get past that, and one of these round of 16 games is Molde Granada. I think we the big favourites if we played that, and then suddenly you've got to beat one team in a semi-final and then one team in a one-off 90-minute game and you've won the competition. So
yeah,
as much as I don't think we've had a great season and as much as, you know, you obviously look at it and you see Milan, maybe Roma and Manchester United and think that, yeah, they're the teams that are the sort of the favourites. They're all having pretty good seasons. I don't think anyone in the draw is beyond us. And we've obviously played Man United twice this season and not lost to them. I don't know. I find it really difficult because a part of me looks at the Premier League table and thinks, do I care if we finish 8th or 13th? Like, what? It's much of a muchness to me. I don't ever want to see Arsenal in 13th. And I hope we win every game between now and the end of the season and get ourselves up the league. But also, if we're not going to finish sort of in the top 5 or 6 anyway, which isn't impossible but looks unlikely at the moment. I think most of the teams above us have games in hand and we're already sort of 6, 7, 8, 9 points from those spots in the table, then I don't know. I think I would definitely be prioritising the Europa League games But I think that also doesn't mean accepting defeat, and that doesn't mean not trying to beat Leicester. I think it just means managing the resources a little bit better and making sure that Saka's completely fresh when we play the Europa League games, even if that means he only plays 30 minutes in the league now and then.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, if he didn't start against Leicester on Sunday, I wouldn't be... It's not that I wouldn't miss him. Of course I would, because of how good he is. And, you know, he showed on Thursday night what he can bring to this team. But there is and has to be an element of realism in terms of what we can ask of him and how often we can ask it of him. And then, like, if you rest him against Leicester and you could potentially rest him against Burnley as well, couldn't you? You know, when you think about it. And then you've got him ready to go again, because what you've got is Olympiacos, Tottenham, Olympiacos in very short time. And then you've got West Ham. You know, so there's... and then Liverpool, I think. So, you know, the schedule is pretty hectic. I mean, I know people go, oh my God, not Olympiacos again. I can't believe we've got Olympiacos again. But I can tell you this. A, we've got home advantage in both games, obviously, which is a unique thing to us. But like the idea, imagine playing Tottenham, West Ham, God. Liverpool. I mean, just no.
Yeah, if we'd have drawn Man United as well. But the idea of three North London derbies in the space of, it would have been 8 days. No, thank you.
No. I mean, if you won the first one, you couldn't even really enjoy it or celebrate it, because A, they've got a second leg, and B, there's like a league game sandwiched in the middle, and oh.
I spend 4 months between North London derbies mentally preparing myself for the next one, and I can't do three in 8 days. That would be the end of me, I think.
God,
having to watch Tottenham three times in a week as well, absolutely no chance.
I
think obviously the ideal situation is that we go out there and we beat Olympiacos 3-0 in the first leg, and then you can rest, you know, whoever the hell you want in the second leg. But I think we have to look at this fixture list and say we have a huge chance of getting through in the Europa League. So you have to sort of plan for needing Aubameyang and Saka and Thomas Partey to start three games in a week. That you don't want them to start the second Olympiacos game, and it would be great if they didn't have to.
Yeah.
But if you basically offered all of us now, I think that those guys, Partey is a bit different, we're going to have to ease him back in and be a bit careful. And it's good for him anyway in his comeback that there's a week between games now, for once this season.
Like you're starting him on Sunday, aren't you?
I think, yeah. It's so hard to know. It's so hard to know, right? Like how fit he is. I don't really want to see Danny Ceballos on Sunday.
Poor old
after
Danny.
Thursday night.
Yeah.
I mean, if Partey's fit to start, then definitely start him, especially with a week before Burnley. But if you offered me right now, you sort of told me, right, you've got Olympiacos, Tottenham and Olympiacos in the space of a week. So if you told me today, or offered it to me today, that Aubameyang, Saka, Partey, you know, Tierney, that each of them will only start one of the Leicester and Burnley games, then I think that would be a very sensible way to approach these games.
How do we deal with the Aubameyang situation? And this is a good problem to have, because, you know, if you leave, I made this point on the Arsecast today, but, you know, if you leave aside the Man City game, which is its own thing because of all the reasons we know. You know, you look at the game against Leeds, the first game against Benfica, the game against Benfica last night, you know, so it's 5 goals in 3 games. Lots of chances in those games. There are a couple of moments in the game last night where, you know, he was marginally offside. That finish for the goal that was given offside, it was the pass from Martin Odegaard. Sensational stuff. And this is a team that is playing to the strengths of their striker, their best goal scorer. But if you're going to rest Aubameyang, you've got a problem, don't you, if you want to play the same way, because we don't have another striker like that. I mean, it could be Martinelli. We'd like to think it might be Martinelli, but we don't quite know that. We have hopes that it could be. It's not Lacazette, because we know Lacazette is a different kind of player. It might be more the Nketiah role than, you know what I mean? If you're looking for a striker that's more like for like with Aubameyang, if you're choosing between Lacazette and Nketiah, it could nearly be Nketiah because he's more of a penalty box player. He's the guy who's getting on the end of things, whereas Lacazette, as we know, likes to drop a bit deeper. So, you know, is it a case that you bank on the robustness that he has shown throughout his career and throughout his time at Arsenal, and you play him and you rest him and you just keep hoping he can stay fit? Because otherwise, it feels like you've got to change other things, and it's really only when we've started playing like this that you can see the progression in the kind of football that we're playing, to fashion those chances. I know we had that period as well where he wasn't playing. We did win games, but this feels quite particular. So, you know, if Aubameyang's not there, you've kind of got to play a different way.
Yeah, a little bit. I think when we were playing quite well with Lacazette, you think of the West Brom game, obviously, is one that sticks out. And I think the difference really was just that players were getting beyond Lacazette, right? So you had Smith Rowe and Saka in particular, who were just willing to go beyond him. And it didn't matter so much that he wasn't that guy that gets on the shoulder of a defender. And I mean, it's very hard to imagine Lacazette scoring those goals that Aubameyang scored last night just because of the movement. It's not something that you really see much from him. I think that lends itself to the idea I'd probably lean towards, that you do just accept you play a different way slightly going forward. And I'd say that we've had Aubameyang in these last few games and playing really well. But he's also played really well when it's been these games when Odegaard's been in the team. So you've not had only one or two creative players, but that almost Arsene Wenger-esque three number 10s kind of attacking midfield with Odegaard, Smith Rowe and Saka. So I just wonder if maybe if you say Aubameyang comes out at the weekend, then maybe Smith Rowe comes out as well, and instead you have Pepe playing on the left, and that little bit more directness maybe doesn't come from the number 9 position but comes from the left instead. And instead of having a sort of second number 10 in Smith Rowe drifting around from the left-hand side. So I think there are ways to do it where it's just sort of a natural tweak just by balancing the players and what they like to do and the way that they play with each other. It'll be interesting to see if Aubameyang keeps playing. Obviously, he hasn't had a long run of games in the last few months. We talked about it before, but he had that little injury, and then he had the situation with his mum. So maybe he's more prepared physically than others to just keep playing games at the moment.
Yeah.
Because it's something that over that really crazy Christmas period that he didn't have to do. And I think at New Year as well, wasn't it, when he was gone again?
But
especially Christmas is always the really busy one. And we didn't have him for quite a few weeks or quite a few games then. So I could see him being maybe not at the same level, at least of sort of Saka in terms of fatigue. Saka and Granit Xhaka, and we've mentioned last week Rob Holding coming out for a couple of games now. I think he might need to be managed a bit less than others. But I also think we could see him move back out to the left for Lacazette to play again.
That's something that I thought might happen this weekend, that Lacazette might come in and Aubameyang might start from the left.
It's just a question of goal scorers, I think. And it's something that we've seen a lot of the last couple of years, and it hasn't really worked or clicked that well. But the problem is, if you don't have Saka in the team, who is scoring a goal? And we talk about Saka creating, but Saka's also, you look at the 11 last night, he's our second biggest goal threat as well. So if Saka does come out, I think it becomes, to me anyway, it becomes quite hard to imagine Smith Rowe and Odegaard both playing. So then you're either bringing in Pepe on the left, or you're probably moving Aubameyang out there and playing playing Lacazette up front.
Yeah, and look, you know, we think he will and hope maybe he will play Pepe if he chooses to rest Saka, but I suppose we have to factor in the Willian situation that, you know, when he needed a goal or he needed two goals last night, he put on a guy who's never scored for us and had barely made any assists since, you know, the early part of the season. So whatever faith Mikel Arteta has in Willian, it doesn't preclude him being involved in the conversation for a start against Leicester. I mean, that's the reality. As much as we might not like it, that is the reality. Where exactly he might play him, you know, on the left, on the right, maybe in place of Odegaard or Smith Rowe, but like you feel, you know, if he did do, for example, Pepe, Lacazette, Aubameyang, you know, we could play a Smith Rowe or an Odegaard behind to be the kind of the piece that links those three with what happens behind. I mean, I'm thinking as well, I mean, is there a point where we have to think about resting Granit Xhaka?
Yeah, I'm sure that's something Mikel Arteta would have liked to have done if Thomas Partey hadn't been so, I don't want to say injury prone, but unlucky maybe with injuries and setbacks so far this season. So I wouldn't be surprised, maybe Leicester's too soon, but I wouldn't be surprised maybe Burnley next week if we saw Partey and Ceballos play instead and just rest Xhaka before that big week with the Europa League back and the North London Derby.
Yeah, he didn't play Pepe against Leeds, did he, after his red card? So maybe he'll factor in that game for Granit Xhaka, given his red card earlier in the season.
Yeah, that's true as well.
Yeah. I mean, just very finally at the back, you know, I'm thinking Luiz and Gabriel, you know, to me, didn't really cover themselves in glory against Benfica on Thursday night. The slowness of Luiz, and I think Gabriel had an off night where he's usually been very good is in his duels, you know, the aerial duels and being strong, and I don't think either of them were. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see Holding and Marie in there again. What we might do at left back, do we push Kieran Tierney towards more match fitness? I'm not sure. Does Cedric come back in at left back? And Hector continues on the right. We are just maybe a bit short of an option at fullback, aren't we?
Yeah, since Ainsley Maitland-Niles and Kolasinac left in January, obviously they were on both sides the backups, and Maitland-Niles would cover both positions as well. I think we've seen, obviously, Tierney's been injured. That means Cedric's played on the left, but it's also meant that Bellerin's backup has disappeared as well. Bellerin's had to play every single game lately. I don't know the last time he didn't play. You know, because obviously when Tierney was out, Cedric was playing left back and there was no backup right back. So I would not be shocked at all to see maybe Cedric at right back. If Tierney, it's a big if, after the way that he's put his body through it the last couple of games, having just come back.
Yeah.
But if Tierney can play on Sunday against his old manager, obviously, as well.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about
then
that.
Then we could see Hector Bellerin, I think, maybe get a break. And again, I think maybe they'll be approaching these games, not Leicester as a sort of lone game, but maybe Leicester and Burnley as a bit of a pairing and be thinking, you know, whoever doesn't get a rest against Leicester maybe does get a rest against Burnley, even with that week off in between, just so that they've can put their feet up a bit and be fully prepared to go into that week where we have the games against Olympiacos and the Derby.
Yeah, okay. Well, look, we'll see what happens. It's going to be a tricky one. Obviously, Leicester are a little bit of a bogey team. You know, they beat us earlier in the season. We kind of fell into their trap, though. So maybe, just maybe, we'll have learned a lesson from that. And hopefully, somebody can deal with Jamie Vardy in the best way possible. And I mean defensively. I certainly don't mean in terms of violent action that the referee doesn't see or none of the cameras see or anything like that, I promise. Okay, listen, Lewis, as ever, thank you very much indeed.
Cheers, Andrew.
And to all of you guys, have yourselves a great weekend. Enjoy the game on Sunday. Fingers crossed we can take 3 points. I think we all deserve it after what Arsenal put us through against Benfica on Thursday. Until then, take it easy.